بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد, kindly please move forward and come close together. Let's all sit as close as possible. We are anticipating the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon us and in this majlis, and that inshaAllah that nur of Allah azza wa jal enters our heart and the darkness of sin is removed and the muhabba and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters our hearts. Allahumma ameen. We had a beautiful session yesterday where we went over the hadith al-musalsal bil-awwaliyyah. And alhamdulillah, we give ijazah to all those who are here as well to say that we're part of this chain, that we received this hadith with a uninterrupted chain all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as being the first hadith that has we heard, you know, in a majlis or in a gathering from our teacher. We ended with talking about how Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, how he got upset at someone, and I also talked about how that those who, the awliya, are surrounded at times by people who test them, who push their nerves. This is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their tarbiyah. This is meant for them for to elevate their status, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes sends people to you that really become a huge nuisance and become a source of great irritation. But a person has to forgive. And someone in Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi told Sheikh Zakariya when he came to this that forgive people to the degree that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. That's where we ended. Moving on, Mawlana al-Hakim Akhtar rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows knowledge as a result of His mercy. Allah says, Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an. Look at the teaching of the Qur'an was connected to Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about His greatness of being a most merciful, and then connects that with the teaching of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality of mercy, Allah jalla jalaluhu gave a human being knowledge. And what is the fountainhead of all this knowledge? What is the source of knowledge that we have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us His kitab, His book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the idea is that when we are, yani the fact that Ar-Rahman taught Qur'an, and Qur'an is the essence of all knowledge, imagine how much rahmah we're supposed to have when teaching Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. How much rahmah we're supposed to have when teaching Qur'an. That it needs to be taught with compassion. May Allah forgive us for completely misunderstanding this whole concept. That the teaching of Quran is the one thing that happens with the most harshness, that happens with the least compassion. Everything else is taught with compassion and kindness, but one thing that's not is Quran. So then what happens? Naturally people then become averse to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll see that many who have graduated from maktab, madrasa, etc., years later, there's no aspect, no strand of deen left in their homes. And one big reason for that is that the deen was not taught to them with kindness and muhabba, and the love of the deen did not enter the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. O Rasulullah, if you were to become harsh-hearted, if you were to be harsh and hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. The Sahaba who are willing to give up everything for you, they would what? They would run away from you. It's a very big statement. Very big statement. The Sahaba love you so much, but Ya Rasulullah, remember the fact that they're coming towards you is because of your softness. May Allah grant us this tawfiq. May Allah make our tongue soft. May Allah make our heart soft. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to truly yani speak to our family and outsiders as well with such words that is attractive towards them and not aversive towards them. Allahumma ameen. So whether we are teaching or lecturing or spending time at home, one thing we need to keep in mind is that we have to have the quality of mercy. And the greatest thing that you could do for humanity is to work. What is mercy? Mercy is to give someone clothing who doesn't have clothes, to give someone shelter who doesn't have shelter, to give someone food who doesn't have food. This is all mercy, 100%. No doubt about it. But my beloved friends, we can't stop there. The mercy beyond that is that you genuinely wish and care that this person should not go to Jahannam. It is that which will make a person make an effort to speak to someone, invite him towards the house of Allah, right? Invite him to, towards the halaqah of Quran. Invite him towards some gathering in which he is reminded of something. That is mercy that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had at the highest level. If we worry about the conditions of the dunya of the people only, then we are not showing true mercy. That we helped them out in their dunya, but we're not helping with them in their akhirah. And that if they die today, they die in the state of heedlessness, headed towards somewhere else. So real rahmah and mercy, real rahmah and mercy is that we focus on all of the material needs, but beyond that, always be worried about the person's akhirah. That's why our mashayikh and teachers, they ask initially if I have a wife, kids, family, fine. Then next immediate question will be, what is going on with your Quranic recitation? What is the condition of your dhikr? What is the condition of your muhasabah, muraqabah? How much time are you spending in the house of Allah? Right? How much time are you engaged in dua? The mashayikh's fikr and concern is, how is this student of ours, or this friend of ours, how is their relationship with Allah? It should not happen that everything in the dunya is set, but the only thing that's not set is our relationship with akhirah and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what, majority of the time, that's what the issue is. That a person is worried as long as his dunya is in shambles. As soon as his dunya is fine, alhamdulillah, sukoon. And his worry is only about that. If you tell him, but in order to fix your dunya, you need to focus on the akhirah, that also doesn't make sense to us. We're all brothers sitting here talking to each other, reminding one another that this is the number one fikr. Every bayan you're hearing the same thing. Self-reformation. Hamari fikr apni zaat ki islah ho. Sabse badi fikr. Anyone says I had a lot of problem. Kya problem bhai? Insurance, taxes, house payments. All of this is fikr. But you say, no, sabse badi fikr mere apni zaat ki islah. My biggest fikr is my rectification of my ruh, my soul. If I pass away today, what state am I in? Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, a man came to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining to him of poverty and the fact that he had very strained and difficult circumstances. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, when you enter your home, then make salam. Say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. When you enter your home, make salam, irrespective of whether anyone is there or not. Whether anyone is there or not, just say salam. Today, when someone is there, people don't say salam. Yeah, this kidna. Let all his dads hear. How many of times you're worried about your son, daughter not saying salam? You say salam, no one saying respond to you. Spouses don't say salam. It's normal. These small things are causing the big problems. You know, to bring down a whole, not a house, to cause a massive multi-thousand acre fire, it takes one cigarette butt. And the thousands of miles are burnt. So these houses, why is there so many problems? Because us neglecting the sunnah. One sunnah is that when you enter the home, even if nobody is there, say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you said to somebody, he didn't hear it, bhai dobara keh do, assalamu alaykum. Maybe he was eating a bowl of cereal, maybe he was on his phone. You know, that's more than likely what it was. And he didn't hear. Your phone be ajeeb cheez hai. When you're looking at it, it's not you're not looking at it. It's like something is put on putty over your eyes, covered your eyes. You can't, and blocked your ears. You can't hear anything. You can't see anything. The level of attention that it grabs is just shocking. So if when someone says salam, he honestly didn't hear it. He's not trying to be mean or disrespectful. He did not hear salam. So first you gotta come between him and his phone. Hey. Then he will look up. Huh? What happened? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Asa. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So this is the situation that we're going through right now. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, enter your home, then say salam, irrespective of whether anyone is there or not. Then send salam upon me. Next is what? Durood Sharif. Some salutation on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then recite Qul huwa Allahu ahad once. Kya hua? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bas. Three things. Got it? What's the first thing? Then? Yes. Then Jur Sharif. Then Qul Allahu ahad. Ji. Bhai bole tino. What's the first thing? Then? Surah Ikhlas, right? Three things. The man practiced upon. What was he complaining about? Who remembers what he was complaining about? Poverty. Oh, who's not complaining about poverty? Even the guy who's making six figures, he said, man, times are tough. Stock market, Iran, what's going to happen with Iran? Allahu alam. But we have to study our 401k. We have to study our stock. You have a beautiful home, you have car paid off, you have everything. But imagine like how selfish we are. I'm not saying don't worry about money, but the biggest thing of a war, and with millions may die, or hundreds of thousands may die, it may bring in World War III. Allahu alam, what's going to happen? But today a person says, oh man, what's going to happen to the stock market? This is the ummah. I mean, you know, I just say things that it's normal stuff. I'm no different. We are a very big bad situation. Everyone is thinking, how can this huge issue of the ummah, bas me bajjaun? As long as I'm saved, no problem. So I was talking about poverty. Poverty is it seems to be a never-ending problem. People complaining about it. It loves it. This one. So this person, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have poverty. What should I do? The Prophet ﷺ told him, do these three things. The man practiced upon this due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him such abundance in his sustenance that besides his own needs, he was able to spend on his neighbors and close family members. So this is when someone comes and says, Imam sahab ko masla hai, I have a problem. And Imam sahab gives you some dhikr, some dua, salah. Sabse bada dhikr is Quran and salah. Then don't say, yaar, Imam sahab har cheez ke liye yehi kehte hain. Jab dekho, that's all he says. Allah ka hath, Allah ka daman pakdo, Allah ka daman. Yaar, kuch aur te do, banker ka bhi daman pakdo na kuch. Koi achha businessman ka number do, koi contacts de hame, koi sales hum karna chahte hain, koi some other guy. Ye, waqi, this is happens. We didn't come to ask you for zikr and dua and namaz istighfar. We're asking if you know someone who can you know, lend me, you know, X huge amounts of money, or who can buy from my new company that I just started, or I can get some contracts. Here's my card, because I'm going through difficulty. One person, he has a store, restaurant. He's telling me, subhanAllah, I close one, close another, about to a third. What's happening? No one comes to the store. Big, nice, big store. Nice food. Everything's there. But no one comes. He showed me. He said, I'm losing every month. I had to close down two. Might have to close down three. And I have not taken a paycheck home for months. But you have everything here. What? You tell me. What? You're on the big street, main street. Why isn't someone not walking in? Kuch to masla hai. There's some issue here. The solution for this is not put a bigger sign. Put a bigger sale. Every single person out there has a big sale, McDonald's, Burger King, this is 50% off. Who's doing? But the chal par dena, something's moving, it moves. The fact that, subhanAllah, you are going through such financial condition, how about you think, what is happening between me and my relationship with Allah? Shayad yahan kuch garbar ho. Maybe there's something wrong over here. I need to fix on this. But the person doesn't make a tawajjuh towards this. Even when we mentioned, or you mentioned to me, I mentioned to you, it seems like it's tike, but we want something different. Then other times people want ta'weez. Not so much in America, but overseas is a very big thing. So give us ta'weez. Something, write something. Because what does ta'weez mean? Okay, I want a quick thing in which I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to read anything. I don't have to make any sacrifice. It's a magic wand. Put a piece of paper here, under my bed, and I'll have a wad of bills tomorrow morning. Like the tooth fairy story. But basically instead of the tooth, you have ta'weez. Amulet. So this doesn't work like that. We have to go towards our amal. And this one point we have to understand is that you don't need to have, like today a brother came to me, you know, you guys probably say, how many stories you have? It's true, for every namaz, I have 3-4 stories in every namaz, every salah. And then of course, between salahs, alhamdulillah, their stories are coming in, piled up. I don't need to read a book. I just tell you the stories happen. You learn so much. So after Zohar, one brother said about his problems happening, all his with his wife, his kids, this, that. So I told him, same thing, bhai. Read Surah Al-Baqarah at home. Read Surah Al-Baqarah at home. Not a week should go by without you reading Surah Al-Baqarah. Blow on the water, make sure you use it. Start the halaqah of ta'aleem in your home. I just finished speaking about this topic. Halaqah of ta'aleem, you know, dhikr, collective dua, and now add to that Surah Al-Baqarah. So then after that he said, I'm also thinking I bought a house on interest. It could also possibly be that. I said, mashallah. Not mashallah they bought a house on interest. The mashallah that you're thinking like this. Now you're seeing. That yes, very well this imtihan could be as a wake-up call or a punishment or wake-up call for that sin. Now what do I do? Well, you make niyyah, tawbah right now. Feel guilty about it. Nadama, ya Allah, I can't handle a disobedient child. I cannot handle a wife that is at odds with me every single day. This is horrible. What am I going to do with this interest-bearing loan that I bought this big, beautiful home, but the house is on fire? Huh? With $3 million home, no one talks to one another, everyone's fighting with one another. What sukoon is there? You'd rather go back into a one-bedroom apartment. And everyone, mashallah, has this beautiful relationship. Everyone eats together, sleeps together, alhamdulillah, hugs each other, and greets each other, and makes dua for one another. That's what you want. That's what you call a home. So then I said, no, you make tawbah from this sin, and you make lots and lots of dua. Ya Allah, get me out of riba. And ya Allah, create for me an avenue where I can restructure this loan, go through Islamic financing, and somehow or the other get out of this mas'ala. Bas, it may happen tomorrow night, it may happen after 1 year, but if you are sincere in your repentance, alhamdulillah, Allah will count it as though you've come back already. Allah is not going to wait till you get out of this to be regarded as you've done your tawbah complete, inshallah. My husn al-dhan with Allah and my good thoughts of Allah is that the day you sincerely repent and the effort you start making phone calls, emails, whatnot, as long as you're doing this every single day, inshallah, in the eyes of Allah, you'll be counted as someone who's repented. Because you're trying to get out of it. Yani, it's not that we make tawbah once and then next 27th night, we show up to make tawbah. No. Every single night and every single day, we are repenting from this sin. So the idea is, the solution to our problems is through a'mal. What was the a'mal today, brothers? Once again, salam in the home. Then next, durood sharif, and then reciting Surah Ikhlas once. This is the solution for poverty, difficulty in finances. Read three things. This is from Al-Qawlul Badi', which is one of the famous books of Imam Sakhawi on Durood Sharif. Barakah of Durood Sharif. Barakah of Durood Sharif. Subhanallah. I met one very big businessman who rubbed shoulders with some of the most well-known business people of the world. And some of the most evil people too, at the same time. He attends some of these meetings. So he was telling me, there's a lot of other Muslims, not a lot, but some Muslims show up to these meetings and financial meetings. But he said, alhamdulillah, when it's time for salah, I get up, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, go pray. Everyone's whining, dining, a whole thing. He gets his salad or whatever, sitting there, eats it. I mean, he told me a bunch of things, and I was shocked. I said, well, I'm amazed. Like, how do you retain your deen in such circles? This is the ta'imat al-kufr that we spoke about yesterday. The leaders of the kufr, you know. Like those type of people, who business dealings with them. They sit in meetings and they have buying real estate, they're buying this, that. So he's on the table. How do you sit and keep your ruhaniya like this? And one thing I noticed is the man who I was speaking to, wallah, he starts crying at the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. And every single time it's just salah ala nabi, salah ala nabi. He's just reading durood sharif. Jab bhi koi masla, salah ala nabi. So this gives you this himma, this strength to be able to follow the deen and do what's right and not cave in, alhamdulillah, even in the worst type of situations where the environment is absolutely not conducive. So this is a lot of barakah in durood sharif. Moving on, after we did the rahimun yarhamhumur rahman, right? He mentions here that if this world was our objective, we would not have passed away and left this world. That if maqsad, you never pass it out. Maqsad you have in your hand. How come every human being, starting off from the most important, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left this world and moved on? That tells us that the object was never this dunya, it was a hereafter. And a dunya mazra'atul akhirah, dunya is simply the place where you sow the seeds for the hereafter. This is the preparatory ground. If a person understands this, then this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will begin to apply his resources in the appropriate manner, constantly thinking, how can I prepare for the akhirah? One of the blessings, the greatest blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon you and I, that we can never owe him back properly, we can never pay him back for, is that he introduced us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he introduced us to how to please him and what displeases him. If he was not there, we would have never known how to please Allah and we would never known how to what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made this effort, and towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Today, inshallah, we have this in Taraweeh. O Messenger of Allah, convey whatever has been revealed to you from your sustainer. Wa in lam taf'al, and if you don't do so, fama ballaghta risalata, you have not fulfilled the obligation of your prophethood. You must propagate whatever has been revealed. So after Rasulullah did this effort for 23 years in Hajjat al-Wida, he looked at the crowd of 124,000 Sahaba and he asked them, that, have I done my job? Did I fulfill my obligation? And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, nashhadu annaka qad ballaghta al-risala wa addayta al-amana wa nasahta al-umma. Right? That we testify that you have conveyed the message and you have fulfilled the trust and you have always been the best well-wisher for us. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma ashhad. O Allah, I ask you to be a witness for the witnessing of all these people. Ala hal falyuballighu ash-shahidu minkum al-ghaib. That whoever is here, please pass this message on. So this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us to introduce us to him. If it wasn't for that, we would have never known who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. And for that, we have to make shukr. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. The first chapter in Bab Kitab al-Riqaq of Imam Bukhari is Babu ma ja'a fi al-riqaq wa an la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. The chapter that there is no life worthy of living in this world except for the life of the hereafter. There is no life worthy of living except for the life of the hereafter. You might say, but alhamdulillah, I have a comfortable life. But honestly, looking at the zulm that is happening around us, why would a person want to even be part of this dunya? To even be a witness to the extreme levels of oppression across the entire globe. So we realize that no, this is not my tikana. This is not what I call my house, my life. This is a simple dirty pathway to get to the beautiful akhirah. I have nothing to do with this dunya. I don't want to be a part of these people who are such zalimeen, oppressors. This is how a believer is supposed to think. That there's no possibility of true enjoyment, fully enjoyment, until you get to akhirah. Think about it. Every single time a person is super happy, you think about your happiest day you had last week, or last month, or last year, or in your life. You'll always think, even in the height of the happiness, there were, if you were to take one moment off of your graduation, marriage, falan, if you were to take one moment and look at the phone, or look at the email, or look at the text, or look outside, or look at your sibling, or look at your spouse, you will remember all the 10 things that are actually problematic. These happy moments, alhamdulillah, Allah gave you and I a gift of something called forgetting. To forget is what? A mercy. Otherwise, we would never be able to live, because we all go through so much challenges, some more, some less. If we could not forget the pain of those memories, we wouldn't be able to eat, we wouldn't be able to drink, we wouldn't be able to sleep. We'd be thinking about what happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago. So being able to forget, alhamdulillah, if it's done, you know, is a blessing. So now, a person, he should never make his life, this life, objective. If you want to have $1,000, $1,000,000, no problem. But have the $1,000,000,000 where? In the pocket. But not 1 cent in the heart. This is what the deen teaches us. Live in this world, but do not allow ourselves to get attached. Like Imam Ghazali's famous example, the ship and the boat, ark, whatever it is, needs water to flow in, to move in, to sail in. But if that same water, which it needs so much, if it were to accidentally leak into the ark of the boat, the entire boat would sink. This brother's story that I just mentioned earlier, if he falls into this dunya, I'm just saying, may Allah protect him, he's gone. You're playing with fire. You're dealing with people with immense wealth, immense power. But you cannot allow that to get into your heart. Is that easy? Is that easy? If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, go become a monk, sit in the mountain and do Allah Allah over there, that would be much easier. That's not the deen. The deen teaches us, live in this world, breathe in this world, get a job, earn, establish a business, this, that. But use it all like toilet paper. Finish. Use and throw, use and throw, use and throw. Khalas. There's nothing that we feel attached to. That's not easy. A person, his heart has to be connected so much with akhirah that he doesn't fall for this stuff. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman radiallahu anhu, we talk about their wealth. However, besides zakat and hajj, they did so much more. So much sadaqah, so much khairat. It's mentioned in hadith, Rasulullah said, ni'matani maghmunun fihi ma kathir min al-nas, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. Two things that a person, many people overlook. Blessings that people overlook. Which is that? Number one is health. And number two is free time. If you are healthy and you have time to do something, not free time, you have time to accomplish something. Nobody's free, per se. But it's possible that you can fit something in. Alhamdulillah, you are blessed. Because most people, a lot of people, they realize this blessing when it's too late. When they fall, when they were on the bed, or they are so busy in a situation where now they don't have time to breathe. So being busy at that level where we don't have time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a huge, not ni'mah, but a difficulty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say all the people are like this. He said, kathirun min an-nas, many people. What is maghboon mean? A person who is in severe loss. Ghaban is when there is loss that a person doesn't realize. He's being deceived. So for example, you go sell an item that costs $100. You go to the marketplace and you want to buy it. You say, yeah, I love this. You really, how much you want to buy it for? He says, man, this thing actually is only worth 30. I'll give you 50. So really? You're giving extra? He said, yes. You sold it for 50. You come back to your friends and they say, how much you sell it for? 50. He said, you got gypped. It's supposed to be for 100. How you sold it for 50? This is called ghaban. When a person makes a wrong financial, for example, financial transaction, he is unaware that how he is actually losing. This word is ghaban. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is saying that we are young, oh young people, oh healthy people, and oh people who have some time in their schedule. Understand that if you don't value this, it will never come back again. When we have this Tanweer program here in our 1 year intensive, every year you have older students, you have some 20s, mid 20s, sometimes even mashallah early 30s, then you have the 17 year olds. Usually always the older ones sit down with the 17 year olds and tell them, man, I envy you. And he's like, no man, you have already have a job, look at your car, you got a wife, you got this, that. Bhai, I'm telling you, I envy you. You don't need to envy me. If I could switch, I would switch. I got the hidayah 10, 12 years later than you. If I got the hidayah when I was 16, 17, I would be sitting here. And honestly, I would be studying. I would say I'm going to study for 7 years. Every year this happens. That the older boys are looking at the younger ones and they think, hi, gosh, I wish we could switch spots. And the young one, he's, no, I want to switch spots too. I want to be like you. I want to have money. I want to have wife. I want to have car. Your mother is a guy. 1 year, okay, alhamdulillah, finish, move on. And the older one is saying, brother, you haven't been there. Once you've been there, you'll realize nothing. You're running after nothing. A mirage. Kabhi milta nahi hai. You never get it. Find me one guy, he says, sukoon. Find me one billionaire, he says, alhamdulillah, mujhe sukoon. Wallahi al-azim, main aapko keh raha hoon. Ek billionaire mulaqat kara do mujhe. One billionaire who says, mujhe sukoon hai. I just sit in my church. I sit in my mosque. I sit in my monastery. I do Allah, Allah. Bas, I feel so content. The drive. The greed for more and more and more. And bechini, because there's no Allah in the heart. What are you going to expect? So let's learn. Saril mujarrab wa la tasil hakim. Take advice from those who have experience. You don't have to ask the most intelligent, knowledgeable person. Ask the one who went through it. As my hawai, right? The one who went through difficulty, or the one who went through problem. And those are our elders. Sitting with them and taking advice from our elders is the best thing we can do. That subhanAllah, you've been through this path. If you were 17, what would you do differently? Say, Yana, what do you say? Huh? My elders are sitting here, mashallah. If you young boys, tell them. Beta, if I was 17, what would I do differently? That's an amana we have. And mashallah, some students, they're very open, frank. They even ask me this question. Okay, if you could change your life, what would you do? I said, that's a very good question, right? So we can change our life. We can go back. How about we just help someone else? By helping someone else, alhamdulillah, this is the rahmah that we've been speaking about. By helping someone else, Allah will give you the ajr of their life changing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I hearts that are filled with mercy. May Allah grant us wisdom and hikmah and teach us how to talk to our own spouse, our own kids, our own parents, our own siblings, and the general public. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us akhirah-centric people. May Allah allow us to become such people whose focus and desire and whose fikr and concern, morning and evening, and even through our dreams, is about building our hereafter. May Allah grant us success in this dunya by not allowing 1 inch and 1 cent of this dunya to come into our hearts. And allow us to use our dunya to build our akhirah. Allahumma ameen. Let us proceed downstairs, inshallah, for iftar, and we'll begin the dua here.